Good evening and welcome to Pod 22 of Total Football Debate. We'll be following the usual format. We'll go through the televised games, and then we'll break off into Scott's favoured Wheel of Fortune. Then we'll crack on to the rest of the Premier League, and then we will go on with predictions. So let's not hang about here. Let's not hang about. Chelsea, well, the Canaries lose their wings. City, wasn't a good day for birds, was it? The Seagulls lost their wings. Gunners back on the form, down the villains. United. Shambolic Solskjaer at it again. West Ham win their DVD Cup final. All that and more on the Total Football Debate. Scott, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. Doing all right.
Good. So, we're actually, I was going to mix it up, but because of the upturn in form, I'm going to kick us off with the Friday night game. Arsenal Villa, a resurgent Arteta, it seems. Villa now lost three in a row. 14 out of an 18 possible points for Arsenal. And Villa, said it numerous times, I don't mean to be the villain for the Villa fans, but again, they were found wanting. They didn't look convincing at all. So where do you want to start, since you're your old friends over in North London?
Well, I mean, I'm wondering whether this is the... I don't know if you remember, but I was the only brave soul that said Arsenal could, and everyone laughed at me, similar to the old Nigel Farage saying.
You're not laughing now, are you?
But on a serious note, I think I was the one that said that I thought Arsenal could finish above Spurs this season. Admittedly, I soon changed my tune the moment I got a chance to. But I'm wondering whether I was onto something, because I think we alluded to it last week. You know, the points totals are not too far in between, are they?
I mean, well, if you look now, you wouldn't have thought it the way we were speaking about them a couple of weeks, two, 3 weeks ago. And, you know, the rigmarole after that Palace game even, where they, you know, were so poor in that second half. But fair play to him. I mean, if you look now, they're 10th, but they're only 3 points off West Ham in, you know, top four. Brighton obviously dropped off a fair bit. The 1 point separates them between, you know, 10th and 5th. Spurs, I mean, again, you don't know what you're going to get with Spurs. We'll come on to them later, but 4-6 loss there. So, you know, all of a sudden that kind of mid-table cluster starts to get smaller. But let's not make any bones about it. This wasn't just a, you know, again, it was a potential banana skin. Yeah, it was quite comprehensive. I think if you're Arteta, you'll be there sitting pretty. I can't imagine, given 3-4 weeks ago, all the rigmarole about the form and the depth and players not turning up or not wanting to play. I think they've he's done a good job.
That's a strong, like, when you look at the Villa side as well, I know they're not in great form, and we'll come to them in a second. Ooh. But, I mean, you look at their starting 11. That was as strong a starting 11 as they can put out. There's no one really missing. Well, there's not. Not in as far as I'm concerned. Yes, you could argue Leon Bailey hasn't started, but it's not Arsenal's fault that Dean Smith doesn't seem to want to throw him in. So that's their strongest starting 11 they can put out. And Arsenal quite comfortably turned over a team that any other season you'd say they'd probably slip up against. I've got to be honest, it makes you wonder, like, when you look at that team, Aubameyang, Smith Rowe, Lacazette, Saka, like, I've always wondered why he didn't keep playing Lacazette. You know, he scores when he wants. Odegaard's on the bench. It's not bad. You've got Kieran Tierney out with injury. So, you know, they put in Tavares, but their back line's been pretty solid. I mean, if they had and Partey decided to show up, but... You, as we said last week, you just wonder if they had that centre midfield nailed down, I don't think they're far off being a pretty solid top four team there.
Props to him. Arsenal on the up. And yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. I think the next, as you say, now we're coming up to that nitty-gritty part of the season. But if he can navigate his way through another 3 or 4 games and, you know, get another kind of 3 wins out of 4 type form going, You know, I think he'll be, regardless of results against Liverpool, because we can all see how good they are, I think he'll be pretty happy, to be fair. Villa, on the other hand, as I say...
Three losses in a row. I mean, the big problem they've got is... I don't know whether this is a problem with Dean Smith or just the players themselves, but I mean, we were looking at their transfer window going pretty solid. You know, everyone was laughing at Everton's. We were all saying Buendia, Danny Ings, Leon Bailey. I mean, that's taking Villa to another level. Could you say any of them have shown up yet?
I must admit, so a few things for me. Number one, the Danny Ings signing was out of the blue. And it struck me at the time as a bit of a weird signing when they'd signed Watkins the season before as their 30 million striker. And
he's suffering as well.
Yeah, he is. He is. And herein lies the problem. You know, you're bringing in a guy that's in the kind of latter peak of his career, but then you could argue they've stunted the growth and potential of Watkins. But then they don't seem to have gelled their new signings. And Buendia, I mean, Norwich must be laughing at the charity FC must be laughing at the 30 million they got for him, because an Arsenal must be grateful they didn't end up pursuing him, because for all the goals and assists he was laying on a plate in the Championship, you know, you want your number 10, you want your playmaker, which is what, let's face it, he was the Grealish replacement. Let's not make any mistake about it. He was the one that they deemed the replacement for Grealish in that kind of playmaker, talisman position. And he's not really done anything of note. I can't put my finger on it, but it's not good. It's not good at all.
That team should never be in the position they are. And you just wonder from here what that means for them, because I haven't seen anything from key players that show any sign that they're going to get out of this. So I really don't know what it means for Villa. Don't get me wrong. I don't think they could go down, but there just seems to be something missing. I mean, the fact that Ollie Watkins just one goal this season in seven games, Danny Ings has got three goals in nine games. Where's the solution? Spend more money? But yeah, I mean, good times for Arsenal, I think, going forward.
Yeah, fair play to Arteta and food for thought for Dean Smith. So, well, moving on then. So I am going to mix it up. So we go from a Friday night. Both games I was going to move to were kind of charity games in each respect. But I'm going to go there. I'm going to go to the big one, United-Liverpool. And look, Liverpool didn't have Mane and they absolutely smashed them. Bruno Fernandes again, lost. But again, the defence was absolutely shambolic. I really run out of words, to be honest, mate, to speak about United. I mean, Liverpool was sensational. Salah, again, unbelievable. We spoke about his importance last week, but United need to act fast. They've got a tough few games coming up. That next three is not pretty, and it could get pretty ugly, I think, over the next couple of weeks for him.
Tottenham next. That's two teams that are looking for form, and well, I really don't know which way it's going to go. Man United are praying it goes their way, because Atlanta after that, Man City, oof. And then Chelsea and Arsenal, which of all things with Watford thrown in between. Now, as we said, look, I don't want to repeat what we've said before. So Solskjaer seems old news. We can't keep going on about that because it's just a waste of breath. Couple of things. You mentioned Bruno. Now, I noted down in here, Bruno's not scored since the 11th of September. I called the bloody thing that he just gets overshadowed by Ronaldo. Now, speaking of Ronaldo, I wonder how much damage is he being? Do you think he's being a leader in this situation, or is he being quite damaging in this situation? Because when you look at someone who's a role model, I wouldn't say that his actions on Curtis Jones spoke, you know, like a role model. I don't know if you saw it.
He was lucky.
He was lucky to stay on that pitch.
I was at the time and I thought they're going to VAR it and actually upturn it and give him a red.
I can't believe they didn't. It was a lash out. He blatantly kicked the guy.
Yeah.
And then you turn around and look at your next players for role models and you have Pogba make a, 20 minutes appearance and then get himself sent off. I mean, you started to wonder whether they were going to eventually try and get the whole team sent off just to get the game ended early, because you know there was, you had Shaw book, Ronaldo book, Fred book, Fernandez book, Maguire book, Wan-Bissaka book, Pogba sent off. it was a joke, an absolute joke.
They were a circus. And look, let's bring Liverpool into it now, because as much as they were clowns, Liverpool were unbelievable. And to be honest, Salah probably couldn't believe how easy it was, to be honest. Liverpool just picked them off. You try and match a high press game with likes of Lindelof and Maguire in your team as centre-backs, that's only going to end one way. Liverpool, brilliant. Salah again. We run out of words every time without repeating ourselves. He was great. And then, you know, you start to wonder now. There's talk of Solskjaer and three games to save his job. You start thinking about top four and you look at that team and the money they've invested and you start thinking underachiever of the season, because on paper, based on the window they had, I sustain that if that's any other manager, that team is in the top four and that team is probably a title contender.
I don't even think with a new manager it will save them, unless they sort out the McTominay and Fred situation in that centre midfield, to be fair. I mean, it's just a bang average centre midfield. You wouldn't see Leicester line up with that centre midfield. I wouldn't even say that centre midfield is any better than Arsenal's situation. So, you know, at least Arsenal have got a European winner in there in Partey, regardless of form. It wouldn't beat Everton's midfield, not with Doucouré and Allen. No chance. So, I mean, you're looking at that Tottenham, Højbjerg and Ndombele. If they were on form, no, I don't think it would beat them either.
No.
West Ham, Rice and Souček, no chance. I think any of them at twos, other than Arsenal's maybe, who are probably matching, I wouldn't say. I mean, even Wolves, you could go as far as say, at least they've got sort of Ruben Neves and the experience of João Moutinho. So, I mean, you have to go quite far down before I start looking at other teams' midfields and going, that probably is about right. So I think they've got a big problem there. And I do think they've got a problem still at centre-back, which is crazy. But Varane, obviously, they knew what they were getting when they bought him in terms of injuries and things like that. So, you know, when you're talking about consistency, that's not the player you want to be bringing in. Because he just doesn't play enough games for them. 5 out of 9 games he's played for Man United so far. That's not enough. Back line, you need him consistently playing every single game. It just disrupts the team.
If you're forming a new partnership, two new centre-backs together, like you say, you need at least kind of 10, 12 games before they start maybe getting the rhythm. And like you say, that's based on not having any disruption at all. So, yeah, we'll see. But not looking good for them. And Solskjaer needs to get out. I'll reiterate again. I think he's a fraud of a manager. Moving on. I shan't waste my breath. And let's go over to East London and discuss the Mighty Hammers. Biggest talking point for me is that 4 losses in 6 for Spurs.
I'd be mad to think that we were going to come away with a win there. I think this is the best West Ham team I have ever seen in my lifetime.
You know, I've got them down as 11th, and I said that on the basis they've struggled with Europa League, with the fact that Antonio was the only recognised striker. But look, people mocked David Moyes and said he was finished, and maybe he's just doing what he's good at. And that's being at a middle-of-the-road club, which is what West Ham are. Let's not beat around the bush. He did it with Everton, where he overachieved and constantly got them into Europe. and it feels like West Ham have turned into his Everton. So, yeah, look, I mean, they're flying. They're absolutely flying. They're top of the Europa League group as well. Declan Rice, immense. Like their mid, like you say, their midfield, you would... I mean, that's a workhorse's dream, their midfield, to be honest. Suchek and Rice. Quarterfinals of the Carabao Cup as well. So, fair play to them. Moyes has got them playing, got them, you know, working. They're not going to be too impacted by AFCON either, so...
Do you think there's a more expensive centre midfield partnership than Suchek and Declan Rice at this moment in time in the league?
I think that's a fair point.
I mean, as I said, who's around them? Have Chelsea got a great centre midfield? We've alluded to this before. No. Liverpool's is quite, in a weird way, is their weakest position, but still strong as a team.
Yeah.
City, you could probably say, are up there. But in terms of form, I'd say their centre midfield values actually come down. West Ham's, I just cannot see any other team that are at peak value as Rice and Suchek are right now.
Agreed.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, any club I think would take them to at this moment in time, as a pair. I mean, Man United would die for that at this moment. They would just throw them straight in.
If you're Declan Rice at the moment and the team that you're being linked with is Man United, unless there's a step change at United by, you know, managerial appointment,
I think there's a Chelsea transfer there.
Yeah.
I think there's a... Frank Lampard, just... You've got to look at how that worked out. I think there's a Chelsea transfer there for Declan Rice. I just can envision it. You know, him and Mason Mount, it's an England, you know, dream, isn't it? It reminds me of that Lampard-Joe Cole era. I think it's definitely something. Spurs, just quickly...
And where do you start with that?
I mean, you've got literally a tail, haven't you? Sixth and seventh, Man United and Spurs this weekend. I don't know. I really don't know what to make of it. I mean, you see them beat Villa, you see them beat Newcastle. I've got to be honest. I mean, maybe I'm being a bit too hard. I just don't think many teams are going to... But then again, I said West Ham's form at home usually isn't very good. So... whether they've turned that around, I don't know. But I wouldn't see many teams turning over West Ham this season while they're in this run of form. So I can't say I'm too surprised. I just really don't know where we're going. Are we hot? Are we cold? Shots on target is a big issue.
I mean, the thing is, you still look on paper, considering there wasn't much movement in the transfer market, considering all the upheaval, he still won 5 of his 9 games.
We're only 2 points off West Ham, and West Ham are flying, apparently.
I thought, you know, before this coming on tonight, I thought, well, Spurs, I was going to mock you. They've lost 4 out of their last 6. But you know what? To be fair, given Harry Kane, you know, you're performing with, well, 9 men, because Dele Alli as well is another carrier. Probably not the worst position, to be fair. Third of the way through the season, 6 points off second. I mean... you'd have taken that if you were Spurs at the beginning of the season, considering the lack of transfers, or, you know, the lack of kind of eye-catching transfers and stuff. It's been a bit of an odd time for Spurs, but I guess it is what it is for them at the minute. Really, they're kind of not bad, not good, kind of everything in between. So as for West Ham, how high they can push themselves, really. And as I say, the key will be, as we discussed at the beginning of the season, is injuries. At the minute, injuries have been kind to them. The other thing that will be kind now is they're flying in Europa League, so there's no pressure there. They can... first round of games, I think, is done in Europa League now, so, or pretty much done, so they can pretty much afford to maybe rotate a bit in their group games and freshen it up some more and take a few more risks, maybe with younger players. So, no, fair play to David Moyes, and we'll see where Nuno ends up. Now, the next televised game I was going to go to, well, it seems pretty pointless to discuss this one, but just for the sheer dominance of the game, Chelsea-Norwich, I mean, 7-0. 7-0.
One thing that I found really interesting was I went on social media after that game because I thought it was just, you know, comedy. It was the new Comedy Central channel, the Norwich feed on social media after that. I thought I was going to catch an episode of Friends on there. They got to a point, and I saw a few people, right? And this is where I was just like, you know what? I've got no sympathy for these fans. Like, Man United, the fans actually, in a weird way, feel a bit like, Jesus Christ, this is tough, right? Do you know the one thing I saw with Norwich? And I just thought it's just this arrogance in a weird way that for some reason comes with them, where they were like, God, Newcastle linked with Steve Bruce, not a chance. What an embarrassment that would be, and all this kind of stuff. Like he's not good enough for them. And I just thought, I'm sorry, but if you had to put a tenner down today to say Steve Bruce or Fark, who's keeping Norwich up, just put it down for me, because I think only one guy has a chance. Not saying either of them would, but out of the two, what on earth has Fark ever done for Norwich in the Premier League that has even shown the slight bit of ambition in the Premier League? At least, I mean, look what Steve Bruce has done with Newcastle. As we said, in all that turmoil, he wasn't wanted. The board weren't helpful. Yeah. The squad has been pretty bang average for years. He came in after a manager who was loved by Newcastle fans. And you've got Fark, who's apparently the second coming of Jesus in Norfolk. And yet, it just blew my mind. And I was just like, I just don't get what on earth this loving is with Fark. It's a joke. And, you know, that's about all I need to say on that. Probably the most embarrassing Premier League team I've ever seen.
Well,
this Norwich team. It's beaten Derby for me.
Well, look, I wasn't planning on spending too much on this game because, you know, what is the point? But what makes it even more embarrassing is Chelsea went into that game with no Werner, no Lukaku.
This is a Chelsea team that we questioned the other week that were struggling with the attacking side of things. You know, they beat Brentford 1-0. They beat Southampton 3-1. Lost a couple of games. They beat Spurs 3-0, Villa 3-0. You know, there was that kind of back and forward as to what's their midfield really doing. Is Lukaku and Werner struggling? But lo and behold, you know, we questioned what was going on with the Mason Mount situation. And don't get me wrong, Mason Mount's had a training game here, but got a hat trick nonetheless. Is Tuchel trying too hard, do you think? Because it just seems obvious. Like, why are you lining up with Kovacic, Loftus-Cheek and Jorginho week in, week out when you've got players like Mason Mount, Havertz, who could be playing in his more prominent position?
It's a weird one, isn't it? I think he's trying to find a formula with his formation that fits the midfielders they've got. But, you know, it's hard to forget Lampard had it when he was there, and I think he started Kante like right of centre mid, so Kante was practically a winger. So it's always been one of those areas for Chelsea as to where, you know, Loftus-Cheek is more of a kind of your typical box-to-box, but he likes to push forward. Kovacic, he's more of a push-forward type of guy, as is Mount. You've got Jorginho that didn't really settle under Sarri, even though Sarri made him at Napoli. That never quite panned out really for them. So it's been a bit of a weird one. And then you've got Kai Havertz, who everyone thought was the number 10 that was going to literally take the Premier League by storm. Hasn't happened. But, you know, still early days. They have hit a bit of a blip, but they're, you know, top by a point. City a couple of points behind them. And, you know, so, and they've won 5 of their last 6 at the end of the day. So who are we to question them? And again, that was all about Lukaku and Werner. So probably would have been the ideal game for Lukaku to get his form back. So I imagine he would have helped himself to a bucket load there. But there we are. And, well, I never thought I'd say this, but from one dead bird and charity football club to another, the Shitey Seagulls hosted Man City.
I feel like you've waited a while to finally get some digs in on Brighton. They weren't playing by your script this season, and now they're finally hitting a bit of downturn, and you're loving it.
You know me too well. Now, I mean, look, we alluded to it a couple of weeks ago that this was probably coming, and it was probably one of them where you always get that one team. Huddersfield were it a couple of years ago. Leicester, obviously, it, but they ended up actually winning the league. But there's always that one team that takes someone by surprise, and then they reach a point where they start dropping a few points, doubt creeps in, form drops, injuries hit, whatever. And, you know, we've seen it a lot over the years. And I think it's purely, I think it's starting to balance out, which is probably why Tottenham, in that respect, probably feel quite lucky, because, you know, you see Brighton, they could probably lose a couple and, you know, gives Tottenham a window to catch up. Same for United, to be fair, and Solskjaer is probably sitting there playing Brighton, lose every game at the minute. You know, City, you never quite know how they're going to line up. So it's hard to discuss the team itself and the formula, but that was a potential tough game, given that they, you know, if they do rotate after games and go to a team like that, it can be difficult. But they handled it pretty well. Obviously, Phil Foden back amongst it, back amongst the goals for them as well, which, and if you believe what the formation was saying, he was the centre forward of Jesus out on the wide right. So, I mean, we spoke about City's depth and have they got quite enough? And I guess the only thing for them is again, can Jack Grealish do enough to, you know, to be in that team? Because he played 75 minutes, I think.
8 games, 1 goal, 2 assists. We'll leave it at just this with Jack Grealish, but we'll just keep coming back to it. Phil Foden, 5 games, 3 goals, 1 assist. Gabriel Jesus, striker, 8 games, 2 goals, 5 assists. All you're doing is a fair comparison to the players in and around him. You know, as you said, Raheem Sterling, he's played how many minutes? Mm-hmm. And he's got the same amount of goals as Jack Grealish, you know, in probably half the time. And you just, there is definitely a question there to be had, not for this show, because don't feel like that long ago we alluded to this anyway. There's definitely something there that deserves to be explored come 20 games into the season and see where those stats are. Man City fans might be the ones to correct us and say we're barking up the wrong tree here. Maybe he offers more. Maybe he does, because we don't watch enough of him. But I, at the end of the day, I feel like it eventually has to land on paper. No, and it's not. It's no. Not landing on paper at all. Not when you haven't got a striker. All your front line need to be getting goals. How many more times do you keep playing him up top and having him on one goal when you're bringing on someone like Riyad Mahrez, who comes onto the pitch for 8 minutes and scores a goal and has the same stats as Jack Grealish in, again, half the time? So there's big questions to be had there. But yeah, Brighton, on the other hand, just quickly, 3 points in 4 games now.
Yeah, 9 points dropped.
That's a quick demise. Luckily, every other team around them is in the same boat, because they're still fifth. I'm sure they'll be thrilled to be there. But let's be fair, they're only 3 points ahead of Brentford in 12th. It's a big fall from grace all of a sudden, this table. It's a very odd table. So I think we just need to ignore the positions at the moment and just look at the points for the next few games. So, yeah, other than that, it was, you know, the script run its course, I'd say, in that game.
No, 100%. It did. There was no surprises. Comfortable. And again, another game that basically lends itself to charity, really. But there we are. I won't dig too much because, you know, they are where they are. They're still fifth, but never mind. And City still claiming away. I mean, look, we're talking about no Sterling, no Torres, but they're still up where with Chelsea and Liverpool, still fighting. And I think they will be for the rest of the season as well, to be fair, barring any insurmountable kind of injury crisis. And
You have to say the fact that Chelsea and City are keeping up with a Liverpool side who you would say have got all their players at this moment in time is pretty impressive. You know, Chelsea without Lukaku and Werner now, and they were without Mount.
Is January trying to
Yeah, it flips on its head in January, doesn't it? Because Liverpool lose all theirs, and then Chelsea and Man City, you would imagine, could carry on. So it'll be interesting. Maybe let's not get too excited with Liverpool just yet, but we'll see.
Yeah, indeed we will. And on that note, you'll be delighted to know that it brings us to the end of the first segment and leads us on nicely to your favourite part of the show.
As always. So we're back to normal this week. You know, we threw a spanner in the work last week because we had episode 20, which was a massive European show. So the Wheel of Wonder does make its return back to the typical routine. A lot more to look over because there's been games left, right and centre across all the European leagues, you know, different days, and it's all out of sync. But first, we've got predictions to touch on. Three games being West Ham, Spurs, Leeds, Wolves, Man United, Liverpool. So, look, let's get the obvious one out of the way. Man United, Liverpool. Jason, I'm sure you'll be delighted to tell me what the scoreline of that game was again.
It was 5-0.
We were all correct that Liverpool would win. We didn't get the scores right. I said 4-2, Cookie said 4-1, you said 3-1. So we had it in mind that they would be a battering, just not to that extent. So we've all got a point each, so no ground made up there. The next game that we'll come to is West Ham Spurs, which was, Jace?
1-0 to the mighty Hammers.
I couldn't admit that West Ham were going to win the game, even though my head was saying they would. So I went with 2-2. You and Cookie, however, did say West Ham would win. Cookie saying 3-1, you said 2-1. So one goal in it, you know, fair's fair. You were above, you know, along the same line. So you both gained a point on me there. And then the final game, which we're going to come to in the second segment, was Leeds-Wolves. Now, can you remember the scoreline of that one?
1-1, wasn't it?
It was 1-1. And we were all wrong. We all thought that one of the teams were going to win. I said 2-0 Wolves, you said 2-1 Wolves. Cookie said 2-1 Leeds. We've got it all wrong. So no points there. So that leaves you on 10. Cookie on 13, me on 19. So opportunity not taken by any of us, really. No 3 points in the bag this week. Now, yes, it's a marathon, not a sprint, don't worry. But now we've got the Wheel of Wonder. Pressure point of the show, this one.
I mean, so I'm feeling under pressure big time.
I bet you are. Because it is a tough, tough week to do this because there have been games everywhere, not just in one round. There's like two sets of games and some big talking points as well if you follow a certain couple of leagues that we're touching on. I'll go first. I'll put your mind at ease. I'll be the one that takes the three this week. Aren't I nice?
Much appreciated.
Yeah, I bet. So let's hope it kind of falls into your lap, whatever one you can wing better than the other. Here we go then. I will spin the wheel and see who is my first victim. Okay, you'll be pleased to know that I've got Uber Eats.
Oh, thank God for that.
So that's one gone that you, I'm sure you didn't have down as your, on your Christmas list.
I mean, I haven't got any of them on my Christmas list, to be honest.
Well, you'll be doing a good job. All right, then. So whenever you're ready.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
I promise I have not got a parrot sitting alongside me because I seem to say this week in, week out with Uber Eats. But the drama continues in Paris as more pressure somehow falls onto Poch's shoulders. Just a reminder, PSG are still 7 points clear, but apparently it's getting bad over there after a 0-0 draw with Marseille, which saw Neymar and Di Maria pulled off to the dismay of the PSG fans, shouting, "You don't know what you're doing." Shock. Elsewhere, second place Lens closed the gap with a 4-1 win. Nice beat Lyon in a 3-2 cracker. Both Nice and Marseille were playing last night as well. Other results saw Monaco beat Montpellier 3-1, Rennes won 1-0, Lille drew 1-1, and Angers are slipping down the table after drawing 2-2 with bottom of the table, St Etienne of all teams. So not looking good there. And just quickly, that Nice-Marseille game did finish 1-0. Got that one in just. Just. Right, your league, I'm spinning now. I wonder if you're going to give the whole 60 seconds to one particular story here. I'll let you decide. You've got La Liga. Yes, you have got La Liga. And I tell you what, there are some big, big stories going on there, not only with the league table, but a certain event that happened yesterday. So whenever you're ready, my friend, I will count you in.
Go for it.
3, 2, 1, go. Well,
Friday, Saturday was the story of the draws, really. Out of 5 games, there was only 2 wins for Alaves and Bilbao. There was a couple of Desmond Tutus on Saturday, Valencia Mallorca and Elche Española. We head into Sunday and things got a bit, goals galore. Sevilla beat Levante 5-3. Barcelona El Clasico, 2-1 loss. Atletico drew 2-2 with Sociedad and Betis got a win in against Vallecano. What it meant for the table? Sociedad, game in hand, mind, over Madrid. Top, Madrid second. Big talking point though, Barcelona in ninth. And Ronald Koeman has paid the price. Let go last night. Big, big changes ahead for Barcelona.
Nice. 55 seconds. So that was obviously, it's massive. I mean, that table is looking electric at this moment. I mean, at this moment in time, you haven't got Barcelona or Atletico Madrid in the Champions League spaces. I would love to see Sociedad, Sevilla or Betis win the league. Oh,
it would be
magic. But yeah, I mean, you called it Sociedad, but we'll see. Right, next one then. So back to me. Comes around so fast. Oh, I took your other one. So I've got Serie A.
Oh, dear. 3, 2, 1, go.
Well, I guess I've got to start with Serie A featuring a giant of a game this past week with Juventus and Inter, which unfortunately resulted in a 1-1 draw, so no one capitalised. This was then, however, followed by what seems to be another howler from Juve, losing 2-1 to Sassuolo. Inter won their second game 2-0 this week, away to Empoli. Milan continued to spread their wings at the top of the table, beating Torino 1-0 as Roma and Napoli, after all the hype, shared a 0-0 draw. But Jose was sent off nonetheless. He still tried to manage the game in an hilarious Instagram post behind the bench. Roma also played this week, beating Calgary 2-1, which routes Calgary to the bottom. So it's Milan sitting pretty in top, Napoli in second, followed by Inter and Roma. And then Atalanta and Lazio fill the other European spots.
Well, very smooth. 53 seconds. 53.53 seconds.
Brilliant. Have you seen Jose's video? He's behind the bench trying to wave to players, like saying...
He's eating food outside the bench as well with snack on Instagram.
Is he? He's such a character, but yeah, got sent off. Of course he did. Right. It's either, and I tell you what, I'd love to know how many...
I know what it's going to be.
I don't know how many weeks running you've had this league now, but if you land on Bundesliga again, it's got to be a record. I would love to know. So, here we go then. It is. This Bundesliga. Oh, my Lord. I'm going to have to, before the next show, I'm going to find out how many weeks running you've had that league now, because
every bloody,
I'm sure you've been saying Mönchengladbach for days. right. Let me know when you're ready. Yeah. I wonder if you picked up on the other story in that one. 3, 2, 1, go.
Well, Mainz kicked us off on the Friday as the main team. 4-1 win over Augsburg. We're going to Saturday. Goals galore again in Germany, as you'd expect. Bayern, standard 4-0 win over Hoffenheim. Dortmund, comfortable winners, 3-1 over Bielefeld. Leipzig, 4-1 comfortable winners. Freiburg, though, big win over Wolfsburg, 2-0. And Mönchengladbach lost to Hertha Berlin, 1-0. Unbelievable, Jeff, I hear you say. Going to Sunday, Bayer Leverkusen, a surprising draw against FC Köln. Stuttgart, 10 men, 1-1. And Bochum beat Frankfurt, 2-0. Bayern on top by a point. Dortmund in second. Freiburg pushed up to third. Leverkusen in fourth. Union Berlin and RB Leipzig, fifth and sixth, respectively.
55 seconds. It's not bad. Big story over there, which, you know, unless you follow it or whatnot, you might not have picked up on. But it wasn't that long ago we were saying that Wolfsburg were in a pretty good place, weren't they? 6 games later and they sacked Van Bommel.
Oh, I did see that.
9th spot they are now. Quickly change it. Another great league at this moment. As you said, Freiburg in third. Which leaves me with the championship, I believe. Go on, him.
3, 2, 1. Off you go.
Getting a bit boring now because it's the same at the top of the championship with Bournemouth, West Brom, Fulham and Coventry holding down the top four. Bournemouth won 3-0, West Brom and Fulham won 4-0, but it was Coventry that slipped up as they drew 1-1 to Derby, allowing Luton and Borough, of all teams, to close the gap with their victories. Luton and Borough now find themselves in playoff positions all of a sudden in 5th and 6th. Stoke, on the other hand, thank God, find themselves now in 9th spot after their third consecutive defeat. This time, however, losing to Millwall, of all the teams I probably wouldn't want them to lose to. How quick things can change. Bottom three currently are Derby, obviously, and then Barnsley and Hull.
Very cool. You did very well there.
That was pretty good. Pretty compact and boom. Nice.
That was very efficient.
But thank you.
It's your favourite part of the show, so we wouldn't expect anything less, would we? Let that be a lesson to you. If you ever need a summary of football in less than a minute,
he's your man.
That's your guy.
That's your guy. But back to more important things. Let's go.
So, best of the rest now. Obviously, we've covered the televised games.
Surely I know where you're starting.
I'm going to start with Everton Watford.
I was going to say, it had to be. Jason, what does this mean?
I can't put my finger on it.
That was the first question I had. What does this mean? I have no idea. Last week we'd relegated Watford and Everton were winning the league now.
I don't understand. I do not understand.
It wasn't in our script, let me tell you that, ladies and gents. It certainly was not in our script. We needed an hour of this show to discuss this one.
I mean, where do you start? I mean, it was a comfortable game, really, for Everton up until, what was it, the last 15 minutes. And then, I mean, I don't even know how to explain it. I mean, even Benitez was shocked that
Watford hit the nitrous oxide from Fast and Furious and just went ballistic in, like, those last 20 minutes.
To be 2-1 up with 27 minutes to go at that point when Richarlison scored. But then from 78 minutes onwards to be at 2-2 with 12 minutes to go and then concede 3 goals. I mean, it's a very unlike Benitez thing, and I can only put it down. I wouldn't read too much into it, to be fair. I don't think it's one of them where you're thinking, uh-oh, we're Everton in trouble now. I think that is your typical once-in-a-while freak result that you can sometimes get.
But Watford, when they've got Cucho, Hernandez, Saar, Dennis and King playing like that, that's pretty good.
Yeah. The big question will be, was it a one-off? Obviously, they played Liverpool and we slated them for how they played. So,
was but it if Watford can do these one-offs, if they can do these one-offs against teams like Villa and Everton, and then beat Norwich and Southampton, because I mean, am I right in thinking it was Southampton? That's this week, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So if they carry on beating teams like Norwich, Burnley and Southampton, but beat every now and again an Everton and a Villa, I think they're up.
Yeah, I agree. Good start for Ranieri. Wouldn't have been easy into that game given the result of the Liverpool game before the international break. But clearly, I don't know how many players of theirs went out on international break, but clearly that break did help. I said international break. There wasn't an international break, to be clear. But yeah. I read that game and thought, what the hell? I mean, so yeah, could be a turning point, maybe a false dawn, but could be a turning point for Watford and Everton. I think, look, the lost circumstances weren't great, but, you know, you look where they are on the table, what they've done so far this season. In eighth place, 3 points off fourth. I think it's
about right.
About right for them. Yeah, exactly. Moving on to, I guess we just spoke about Watford there and the next game being against Southampton. So let's go to that game, purely because for a Burnley game, it seemed quite entertaining. 2-2, again, Southampton, another draw. You feel like for Southampton, the longer that goes on, the harder it could become. And not only that, you know, again, Adam Armstrong, Brozier has definitely staked his claim now in that team.
Adam Armstrong's been thrown a lifeline, though, because Brozier looks like he has picked up an injury, which may now see Adam Armstrong thrown back into that team. I think he's a lucky boy.
Yeah, because, well, that makes the Watford game even bigger then, because these are the games where Brozier, who you could say has been the best player over the last few games when he's come on and stuff, he was brought in to score goals in key games. That Watford game is going to be critical for Southampton. You know, Southampton, as you allude to, need to win.
This is their best chance this year to pick up points, this run of fixtures. So far, they've picked up 4 out of 6. Not bad going, but they need to be getting easy 75% worth of points available here, because their next game is Watford. They've then got Villa. They've then got Norwich. If they don't get, I'd say 5-6 points somehow there, I think it's too close for comfort for Southampton with Leeds and, you know, the other teams. So I definitely think they need to pick up some points. And, well, Adam Armstrong, as we've said many times, this is so key for him. And he's been thrown a lifeline with the Brozier injury. But just as they were finding some goals, maybe they're in trouble again.
Yeah, they need something. They need a spark. They need something. Those goals need to count for something. And Burnley, I mean, still struggling. They are another team. You know, we're speaking about wins. They desperately, I think, need to start thinking about winning some games. Nearly.
The only thing I was going to say on Burnley, just because I thought it was definitely something needed to mention. You know, before we used to say that Newcastle had that player in Saint-Maximin, Leeds had Rafinha, and we didn't feel Norwich and Burnley had anyone, which is probably why they were going to go down, right? Even Watford had Saar. Do you think Burnley have found their player now with that signing of Cornet?
Well, I was surprised that they got him, to be honest, because he strikes me, I mean, he's the perfect foil at someone like Palace, to be honest. But I was surprised when Burnley were linked with him, I was surprised there weren't other clubs in for him.
Four games, 3 goals.
I mean,
big goals as well.
Yeah, massive. And you know what? The next 5 or 6 games for Burnley, see, Burnley are in a bit of trepid territory here because they haven't won a game. But if you just look at their next 6, Brentford at home, Chelsea away, Palace at home, Tottenham at home, and then two away games to Wolves and Newcastle. There's one, two, three teams in there that are in and around them currently, from kind of 15th downwards. I mean, they've got to be looking at a couple of wins, haven't they, out of those fixtures?
Yeah, I would have thought so. There's two teams there, let's be honest. Well, three. I mean, we wonder whether Brentford are eventually going to hit a patch. You've got the Palace game, which I'm assuming was one of the teams you were alluding to. Mm-hmm. Tottenham at home. They gave Tottenham a good game in the Carabao Cup last night. So yeah. there's a chance they could get a point or so there. Wolves, on a good day, you would imagine Wolves will turn them over. But let's be honest, it's been a bit hot and cold there. And Newcastle, they have to be winning that if they want to stay up. They have to.
Yeah,
that is as big as... I mean, that is the team below them. They have to win that game.
Yeah, and then after that, they've got West Ham and Watford, so they've got to start winning games. Same with Southampton, got to start winning games. And I think that's the story at the bottom of the moment, to be honest, and that leads me quite nicely to the next game that I was going to... Well, sets the tone for the next couple of games, really. You've got that. Then you go to Palace Newcastle. Palace again, dominant display. Should have won. Probably unlucky to be fair, because, you know, goal disallowed from VAR. Newcastle, it was a vital point. I mean, up until that goal, which was an amazing goal, by the way, if you hadn't seen it, from Callum Wilson, that was their... The thing that struck me about Newcastle, that surprised me actually going into that game, because I thought they really might tackle the game differently. But clearly, the coach in temporary charge there at the moment, is the main priority is to stop shipping goals. And they were playing like a championship team up against a Man City, where they literally just had two banks of four. Now, we spoke about Saint-Maximin in that he'll turn up for a third of the games, then he'll fade in some of the games. This is definitely a game where he faded. There was a couple of moments where he slipped through on the counter. But aside from that, he wasn't that impressive. We've said it before, but their run means that was a vital point, or that it was a must-not-lose, I think, for Newcastle. So I think in that respect, they'll be happy. Palace, though, again, dominant display, plenty of chances. You could say this one is purely just down to it was one of those games. It's another draw, but it's going to be pretty critical now that, aside from this City game this week, that they obviously start picking up a couple of wins, because there seems to be quite a few draw specialists down there at the moment. It's keeping everything a bit too congested down there for my liking, but there we go.
I just think it was a game you desperately needed to win.
Yeah, we did.
You're in a pack, I've got to be honest. It doesn't seem right that you're there. It's weird because we slate Watford, we slate Villa. You know, Wolves had a horrendous start to the season, and yet you're below them all. Southampton, Leeds, Burnley, Newcastle and Norwich are the only teams below you, which Leeds are the other team that you would have gone Leeds there, like at the beginning. But, as you say, a win, and all of a sudden, if Brentford lose and you win, you're tied on points with Brentford, for God's sake, who were... in great form. So it's a weird table. But then again, even Newcastle will be thinking, shit, that's one of the five teams mm-hmm. around us that we've not beaten.
Yep.
So I don't think either of you would be happy with that draw, to be honest.
No. But also, we're on the subject of draws. Let's go on to Leeds Wolves, because they joined the club as well. And I mean, Wolves will be kicking themselves. That is a massive, massive point for Leeds United.
I had that down, yeah. Great result for Leeds. Could have taken Wolves, I think they'd probably be more annoyed that they maybe couldn't win the game in the end, Leeds. You know, Wolves have been a bit of a tough team, but they only had 8 shots on goal and Leeds had 18, which again comes down to the fact that, let's be honest, it was a 94th minute penalty. So the goals aren't flying in again for Leeds, and it was a Rodrigo penalty, and they didn't look like they were going to score. You know, Huang again.
And then, well, finally we get to talk about a win, and I think this
big
is
win.
The final game. Big win. Resurgent Rodgers away to Brentford. I have to admit, I had that down at most as a draw for them and a point. But found a way to win. Maddison seems like he's...
That was a key point, actually. Since he's come back in the lineup against Man United and started the game, they've won every game. He came back in against Man United after drawing 2-2 against Leicester, where he... I don't believe he featured in that game. Well, he certainly... I don't think he started that game. He made 20 minutes, I think. But he started against Man United. They won 4-2. He started against Spartak Moscow. Away from home, they won. Started against Brentford, they won. So something's ticking then. Look, this is a midfield that last season and the season before was operating perfectly. And maybe for the first time, we're seeing that midfield click back into gear again, because we knew there was a bit of a player there, but there was just an attitude problem with Maddison.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he's got his head on, he's a player. He's a good player. It is another, though. It is another with Brentford, similar to Brighton. That's now 4 out of 12. The last 4 games, lost, won and drew. Bearing in mind, they lost to Chelsea. I mean, it was a tough 4 games. That was Leicester, Chelsea, West Ham and Liverpool, to be fair to them. And they got 4 points out of it, you know, away to West Ham.
Ironically, their next 4 by...
Good run.
Yeah, Burnley away, Norwich at home, Newcastle away, Everton at home. So
you would like to think they'll click back into gear here. And bearing in mind, after those 4 games, they're still sitting in, what, 12th?
Yeah.
You'd like to think they might be back up to 7th and 6th if they get those games on the win.
I think that'll be the true marker. That run of next 4 games, we spoke about, you know, I've always been quite confident in them finishing kind of mid-table, like 11th or 12th. I think that'll be the marker, how they fare out of those games, because they're the games on paper that before the season kicked off, they're the games that they'd have down as the wins.
You look at this league table, because we're coming to the end of it now. This discussion. I mean, you've got here Brighton, Tottenham, Man United and Everton, who are all in a bit of a shaky patch at this moment in time. The pack below them is Leicester, Arsenal, Wolves and Brentford, who are all starting to hit. And if you look at Wolves' fixtures as well, just off topic, that's a pretty decent run of games as well. Now, how much would you bet that those 4 could flip the other 4?
Well, I was then going to go one step further. And I know not every team's going to win, but if you go as far down as Southampton in 16th, between 16th place and 7th place right now is only 6 points, or 5 points even. 6 points if you're Southampton, 5 points if you're Palace. So you're talking a 2-game swing. All of a sudden, you could be looking at Southampton's and Palace's swapping places with Villa's and Brentford's. And, you know, so it's actually outside of the top 4, 5th downwards. I mean, 5th to 15th is a matter of 5 points. The other caveat you've got here is, of course, with the bottom, is on paper, Burnley, Newcastle are not, I mean, Norwich are fucked. But Burnley and Newcastle... Yeah. Burnley and Newcastle on 4 points. But I'll tell you now, if you're Burnley, Leeds, Southampton, and I'd even put Palace and Watford in there, and Villa, so 30, again, like you say, 13th downwards, you'll have one eye on Newcastle in January. Because depending on what they're allowed to do and what they can do in that window, could dictate how that bottom of the pack pans out. Now, the other thing is for Newcastle, the burden on all of this, and the interesting thing that is going to be fun to watch between now and the 1st of January is Newcastle have got to find a way of winning games. And as you alluded to a few minutes ago when we were talking about the game that they were in against Palace, they now I think they've got another two or three games they could potentially win between now and the end of December. But the key talking point, actually, we haven't spoken about any of this, is there is a lot of talk about Fonseca being in place and that basically the manager would be a week away, and that after the, you know, the caretaker manager was going to be in for a couple of games. But the managerial talk's all gone very, very quiet over on Tyneside, which is very interesting as well. So it could be quite an interesting take on it. But yeah, I think you're right. I think 13th downwards could end up being a little league. And well, it all depends how it pans out, I guess. But they need to learn to win games. That's the crux. A lot of them like drawing at the moment. Draw specialists. Well, that is the games wrapped up for the week. I guess the only thing left to do here is the things that we're not so good at right now, and that is the predictions for this coming week.
I went for Wolves-Everton.
1-1 draw written all over it.
Well, there's my answer then for you. I've got 2-0 from Cookie to Wolves. And I've got 2-1 Wolves. So, yeah, that's my game. So now it's down to you.
Fine. So over to me. So I'll start off with Cookie's game of choice. Watford-Southampton.
Blockbuster.
And he has gone 1-0 Southampton. I have gone 2-1 Watford.
Do you know what? I'm going to go 2-0 Watford. I don't even think Southampton's going to score. I still think we're going to come back with an Armstrong headline here.
Massive game for them.
Your game then.
Yep. So I went for Burnley-Brentford.
None of the big games were chosen this week. I thought they would be. Spurs-Man United, I thought, was going to come out.
Burnley-Brentford. So Cookie said 2-1 Brentford.
Mm-hmm.
I, exclusive, because I didn't even give Cookie my result, I'm going to go 2-1 Burnley.
I definitely think there's always goals there for Brentford, but I'm going to go 2-2. I'll go 2-2 because I'll be annoyed if I don't pick it now and it happens. So I'll go 2-2. Ah, no blockbusters there then. I was hoping the Tottenham-Man United game would come out. Bearing in mind that's a biggie.
That is the unique thing about this podcast. We don't just pick...
We don't do match of the day. No, we do not.
Match of the day. And we just hope that these teams learn to win a game. But probably all irrelevant because, let's face it, between the three of us, we are shit at predictions.
Well, speak for yourself, mate. I'm not doing too bad, thank you very much. Who's up or down then?
I'm going to put Liverpool up.
Ooh.
A second.
Jesus. I'm going to move Brighton up from 12th to 11th because I've currently got Villa and Leeds above them. So that's mine. Obviously, we don't know Cookies. We'll find out next week when he's on. He'll have two to move. That's done.
Interesting. There we go. Well,
over to you to sign out, my friend.
We hope you've enjoyed the show. You'll be delighted to know that Cookie, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Scott, is joining us and returning to the pod next week. We'll have a third head wrapping our thoughts around the games. And that's about it, folks. And we truly are. We're normally rolling into the beginning of the week, but we are truly rolling in to game week 10 and the weekend. So that's it from me. That's it from him. So until then,
good night from us.